Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode one of Firehouse Confessions. I started this podcast just because I feel the fire department, the fire service in general, is often misrepresented. And sure, it's an honorable, it's a cool profession. It's seen on TV and in movies, but oftentimes they kind of glorify it instead of painting it how it truly is. And so, although this is a very good profession, it's very rewarding, there's also a dark side to this profession. And if you do this job for any length of time, you have plenty of memories and things that you're left with. Some you laugh at, some you cry at, some give you nightmares, and some you just try not to think about anymore. And so I want to have a platform for firefighters to come on here and kind of share their stories, whether it's something sad, whether it's something funny, something that made them happy, something that gives them nightmares. I don't care. I just want to hear the stories that our brothers and sisters have witnessed over the years. And so I thought it only right that I go first and that I lead with something. And so I'm going to lead with the call that has had the most impact on my life. And so I have not forgotten about this call. And my nearly 20 years of firefighting, I still think about this about once a month. I think about this call that I went to. And so before you pick at me, it's not going to be anything gory. It's not going to be a really cool story. It's something that was very endearing and benign if you look at the scope of, you know, what I have witnessed over the years. But for some reason, this just stayed with me. And so I went on a med call. This is early 2000. I think I was around 19 or 20. And so I went to a med call. It was an elderly couple that lived in a house. The elderly woman was the one that called. And whatever lung disease she had, emphysema, COPD, whatever she was suffering from, she was in the late stages of it. So she was a stage four patient dealing with some type of lung disease. And so her husband in the room, and both these this couple, they was in their 80s. And so her husband was in the room, and he was crying, and he was almost inconsolable. And we were packaging her and taking vitals. And, you know, I just kept scanning the room. I kept scanning him. I'm looking at his body language, and he was just so distraught. I actually was concerned that he might go into a medical event himself. But anyway, we were packaging her, and as we were taking her outside, you know, she was trying to mouth something, but we could not hear it. So she had an oxygen mask on, what we call a non-rebreather. And so we took the non-rebreather off, and we leaned in closer to kind of hear what she was trying to communicate to us. And she said, "Please, please, whatever you do, look after my husband. He's lost without me." And so for some reason, that went off like a bomb to me. On the fact that she was in her end stage of life, and all she could think about was her husband. And so she was concerned. She had started crying because she was concerned for him. He was already crying and reaching out to her because he was concerned for her. And for some reason, that just leveled me. I've never seen a man look at his girlfriend or wife or friend the way that he looked at her. And I never seen a wife or girl look at her husband or boyfriend the way that I seen her looking at him. And so the emotion that I felt, you know, coming off of those two, for some reason, just landed on me. And so, you know, even though I didn't know this couple, I felt horrible for them. Just because life was ripping them apart from each other and they weren't ready to let go yet. And so, you know, I don't know how long they've been married, but I'm going to speculate, you know, 40, 50 years of marriage. And the tie that they had together was just as strong as it was when they first got married. And matter of fact, I probably would say it was probably stronger than when they first got married. And so I just never forgot about that. And if I were to be honest with you, every so often, you know, I have anxiety about being in their place one day. I've been married 13 years, and, you know, quite frankly, that's not how I want my story to end. I don't want to be on the stretcher. I don't want her to be on the stretcher, or I don't want to be experiencing, you know, end-stage disease, and I'm leaving this world, and, you know, all I can think about is, you know, my wife and how I'm not ready to go yet, or how she's not ready to go yet. And so that's something that I struggle with. I never forgot that call. But I think the blessing in that, because as sad as that call was, one thing that I got to witness was even in the midst of someone dying, you can find something poetic and endearing in it. and it was. I'll just, I have, to this day, I have not seen love expressed the way I seen it expressed that day. And so that was just something that's always stuck with me. And I think it will always stick with me. And so my message to you would be, you know, if you have a loved one, whoever that may be, whether that's your wife, whether that's your mother and father, your brother and sister, whoever you hold that to be, if you have a loved one, please tell them that you love them and express that whenever you can, because life is short, but sometimes life with a loved one is even shorter. This is No Smoke Jones, and I'm signing off. Thanks for listening.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.